Chapter 42. Purse, and he was eager with sympathy and bounty. The way in which women loved and petted him, when, a year or two afterwards, he came upon the world, yet a mere boy, and the follies which they did for him, as indeed he for them, recalled the career of Rochester, and outdid the successes of Grammont. His very creditors loved him, and the hardest usurers, and some of the rigid brutes of the other sex too, could deny him nothing. He was no more witty than another man, but what he said and looked as no man else could say or look it. I have seen the women at the comedy at Bruxelles crowd round him in the lobby. And as he sat on the stage more people looked at him than at the actors, and watched him. And I remember at Ramillies, when he was hit and fell, a great big red-haired Scotch sergeant flung his halberd down, burst out a-crying like a woman, seizing him up, as if he had been an infant, and carrying him out of the fire. This brother and sister were the most beautiful couple ever seen, though after he winged away from the maternal nest this pair were seldom together. Sitting at dinner 2 days after Esmond's arrival, it was the last day of the year, and so happy a one to Harry Esmond, that to enjoy it was quite worth all the previous pain which he had endured and forgot. My young lord, filling a bumper, and bidding Harry take another, drank to his sister, saluting her under the title of Marchioness. Marchioness, says Harry, not without a pang of wonder, for he was curious and jealous already. Nonsense, my lord, says Beatrix, with a toss of her head. My lady Viscountess looked up for a moment at Esmond, and cast her eyes down. The Marchioness of Blandford, says Frank. Aunt, you know, hath not Rouge Dragon told you? My lord used to call the Dowager of Chelsea by this and other names. Blandford has a lock of her hair. The Duchess found him on his knees to Mistress Trix, and boxed his ears, and said Dr. Hare should whip him. I wish Mr. Tusher would whip you too, says Beatrix. My lady only said Colin, I hope you will tell none of these silly stories elsewhere than at home, Francis. Tis true, on my word, continues Frank Colin, look at Harry scowling, mother, and see how Beatrix blushes as red as the silver clock stockings. I think we had best leave the gentlemen to their wine and their talk, says Mistress Beatrix, rising up with the air of a young queen, tossing her rustling flowing draperies about her, and quitting the room, followed by her mother. Lady Castlewood again looked at Esmond, as she stooped down and kissed Frank. Oh, not tell those silly stories, child, she said. Do not drink much wine, sir. Harry never loved to drink wine. And she went away too, in her black robes, looking back on the young man with her fair, fond face. Egad. It's true, says Frank, sipping his wine with the air of a lord. Hat think you of this Lisbon real collars? Tis better than your heady port. We got it out of one of the Spanish ships that came from Vigo last year. My mother bought it at Southampton, as the ship was lying there the Rose, apostrophe Captain Hawkins. Why, I came home in that ship, says Harry. And it brought home a good fellow and good wine, says my lord. I say, Harry, I wish thou hadst not that cursed bar sinister. And why not the bar sinister? Asks the other. Suppose I go to the army, and am killed, every gentleman goes to the army who is to take care of the women? Trix will never stop at home. Mother's in love with you, yes, I think mother's in love with you. She was always praising you, and always talking about you, and when she went to Southampton, to see the ship, I found her out. But you see it is impossible. We are of the oldest blood in England. We came in with the Conqueror. We were only baronets, but what then, we were forced into that. James the First forced our great-grandfather. We are above titles. We old English gentry don't want them. The Queen can make a duke any day. Look at Blandford's father, Duke Churchill, and Duchess Jennings. What were they, Harry? Damn it, sir, what are they, to turn up their noses at us? Where were they when our ancestor rode with King Henry at a Jinkert, and filled up the French King's cup after Poictiers? For George, sir, why shouldn't Blandford marry Beatrix? By G, he shall marry Beatrix, or tell me the reason why. We'll marry with the best blood of England, and none but the best blood of England. You are an Esmond, and you can't help your birth, my boy. Let's have another bottle. What? No more? I've drunk three parts of this myself. I had many a night with my father. You stood to him like a man, Harry. You backed your blood. You can't help your misfortune. You know, no man can help that. The elder said he would go into his mistress's tea table. The young lad, with a heightened color and voice, began singing a snatch of a song, and marched out of the room. Esmond heard him presently calling his dogs about him, and cheering and talking to them, and by a hundred of his looks and gestures, tricks of voice and gait, was reminded of the dead lord, Frank's father. And so, the Sylvester night passed away. The family parted long before midnight, Lady Castlewood remembering, no doubt, former New Year's Eves, when elves were drunk, and laughter went round in the company of him, to whom years, past, and present, and future, were to be as one, and so cared not to sit with her children, and hear the cathedral bells ringing the birth of the year 1703. Esmond heard the chimes as he sat in his own chamber, ruminating by the blazing fire there, and listened to the last notes of them, looking out from his window towards the city, and the great gray towers of the cathedral lying under the frosty sky, with the keen stars shining above. The sight of these brilliant orbs, no doubt made him think of other luminaries. And so her eyes have already done execution, thought Esmond, and whom, who can tell me? Luckily his kinsman was by, and Esmond knew he would have no difficulty in finding out Mistress Beatrix's history from the simple talk of the boy. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.